Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valenti Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valenti Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.
You're listening to the best of the Lions.
Oh, baby, how beautiful is that?
A weekly mix of 97.1, the Ticket's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
On the line with us this morning, Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Ross, good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing all right. Another week under our belts, and we learn a little bit more about each and every team. And the only one that we're really concerned about is the Lions. And I'm curious, do you think that this version of the Lions is more like week two or more like week one?
I think more like week two. I mean, you watched it, and it was like, okay, that's the Lions. Like, that's what we've come to know and love about the Lions, the under center play action, you know, driving the ball down the middle of the field, some of the bootleg stuff. They ran it better. The O-line certainly looked better. You know, maybe, I don't know, John, maybe the Packers defense is just that good, and that was certainly part of it in week one, but it at least offensively, it looked a lot more like the Lions the last few years under Ben Johnson. It had to be. I mean, you guys would have to tell me because you talk to them every day. But for Lions fans, it had to be on some level a sigh of relief that
yes. It's
like, okay, this wasn't just Ben Johnson the last couple of years. Like, it's the players, and we can keep doing the stuff we were doing. It was just a bad day at the office up in Green Bay.
Yeah, it felt therapeutic, I think, for yes. A lot of Lions fans to see that. Now, look, the season keeps going. They're going to play Baltimore Monday night. How do they match up?
Well, I'm the right person to talk to about that because I just did the Ravens and Browns on Sunday for CBS. So I watched a lot of Ravens. I met with the team. I was in the production meetings. Ravens have a really good squad. There's no way around it. They were much better defensively against the Browns than they were in the fourth quarter against the Bills. I think they were embarrassed with how they played in the fourth quarter against the Bills. They totally blew that game. You know, they had some guys out there that maybe shouldn't have been playing, weren't ready physically, like Jair Alexander, and they just made a number of critical errors. But the Ravens are like the craziest team, guys. You'll appreciate this. I don't know if you guys – I know it's legal there, so I don't know how much you talk about betting or not, but I have a betting podcast, the Even Money Betting Podcast. And the Ravens, they are like the analytics darlings, right? Mm-hmm. So those guys look a lot at yards per play allowed, a bunch of these advanced metrics. And last year, again this year, the analytics guys, the handicappers, they'll tell you the Ravens are like the best team in the league by far and one of the best teams we've ever seen, yet they find a way to doink off games they shouldn't or losing the playoffs when it matters the most. But statistically, the Ravens are like a juggernaut, right? I mean, the way they can move the ball, the way they run, throw it, Lamar, obviously, and then even defensively, they are a really, really good team. They're like the regular season kings of football.
So having said all of that, handicap this game for us because is the defense for the Ravens, did they just look better? And the numbers look better because it was the Browns' offense. Did the Lions look exceptionally well simply because it was the Bears? how does this game match up? And is it just simply going to be who has the ball last and who's going to be able to score the most?
Well, so I think, you know, the truth is usually somewhere in the middle. So I don't think the Lions are going to have 6 points at the two-minute warning most weeks, but I also think they're going to put a lot of 50-burgers up. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, they're going to be somewhere in the middle, and rightfully so. I do think that the Ravens' defense is significantly better than the Bears' defense, especially the Bears without Jalen Johnson. And then, you know, because you look at them, they have really good players on all three levels. You know, Madubuike at D-tackle. Roquan Smith was unbelievable against the Browns. And the thing is, John, they were not that bad defensively against the Bills until the fourth quarter. You know, mm-hmm. the fourth quarter, they just kind of lost their minds. Now, the one thing I will say is they don't have great like edge rushers. And I don't think Kyle Van Noy, you know, will play. So they don't do a great job of just generating pressure without blitzing. And I don't think they will against the Lions. So the path to the Lions winning is Goff identifying when they bring Roquan Smith, when they bring Kyle Hamilton. Yes, you know, so number one, the Lions O-line has to be able to block against a four-man rush. And then Jared has to be able to identify when they come with pressure, because I think they're going to have to. And if he does that, he should be able to have a pretty good game getting the ball out to his receivers. And, you know, it does feel to me like a 27-24 type of game, maybe even a little bit more than that. And the problem with the Ravens is that's just not their strength. You know, the Ravens, it feels like they don't win their fair share of close games late. You know, they're better when they're blowing people out. When it's a close game, you know, they lose more of those games than they win them.
Sounds like you're telling Lion fans are going to go win this game.
It's certainly possible. I mean, that would be a gigantic win. That would be a huge, huge win. Feels like a swing game for both these teams, right? I mean, I do power rankings every Tuesday on the Raw Sucker podcast. They're both top five teams, but there's a pretty big difference between being 1-2 with a win over Detroit, or, you know, I'm sorry, with 1-2 or 2-1 with a win over Baltimore, win over Detroit. This will go a long way towards how we kind of feel about these teams early in the season.
We had a question earlier that we were discussing, and it was which 2-0 team would miss the playoffs, which 0-2 team would make the playoffs. And obviously the easy answer is the Bengals with Joe Burrow gone. They have the high odds of falling apart. The Chiefs, you are looking at it going, well, you know, Patrick Mahomes can't possibly miss the playoffs. Is there an overconfidence that Patrick Mahomes can just take this team to the playoffs without having Rashee Rice early in the season, being down another receiver, Kelce not having his best season? Do you think the Chiefs are at risk of missing the playoffs?
Well, if you don't want to just use the Bengals as the 2-0 example, I'd probably say the Arizona Cardinals, because they haven't looked that great, and they beat the Saints and the Panthers, two of the worst five teams in the league. As for the Chiefs, I'd be really surprised they don't make the playoffs. Really surprised. You know, the end of that game against the Eagles, Mahomes is out there throwing deep balls to Tyquan Thornton and Nico Remigio. I mean, I can assure you no Eagles fans have ever heard of either one of those guys. So they might get Xavier Worthy back this week. He's got to play with a harness because of that dislocated shoulder. But then they'll get, in a couple weeks, they'll get Rashee Rice back. I think when they have Worthy and Rashee Rice out there, that they'll be back to being the Chiefs that we all kind of know and expect. And so it might not be 14 or 15 wins. It might be 10 or 11, but they're still going to the playoffs.
He's Ross Tucker. He joins us every Thursday. He is our Odyssey NFL insider. Those calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Ross, appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks, bud.
Absolutely. See you guys.
See you. Talk to him again next week. 97.1.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know The Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
Hey, it's Doug Carson, Scott Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket. Jared Goff, thank you for joining us. Thank you for the sarcasm at the end. You know, it's funny. Jared is acutely aware of what is said about the Lions, and I think he uses it quite a bit. I think he's acutely aware of what is said about himself, and I think he uses that quite a bit. I thought that was hysterical at the end. Aren't you going to ask me about the coordinators? Because, they know. I think they can use it, and I think they're a little bit edgy offensively because of all of the panic surrounding Ben Johnson's departure. Instead of dwelling on it, I think they're using it as fuel. I think that's. You know, they've turned it into a positive, if you will. That's the sense I get.
If they had scored,
and by the way, I think he was just joking around with us. I don't know if anybody was just having some fun.
I don't think he was upset. If the Lions had won that game 31-21, I think everybody would say, okay, the offense might be in good hands. We're okay here. But they didn't score 31. They scored 52 freaking points, and they could have scored more. I think what they did on Sunday was completely shatter and obliterate any narrative of, the change in offensive coordinator might hurt this team. I don't know if they went out to do that, if that was the purpose or if that was part of that chip on the shoulder, whatever it was, great, fine. But I'm saying in the aftermath, to me, that's what that's what the statement was.
Yeah.
It's like, stop it with that. Look at our team. We just put up historical these are numbers that Ben Johnson didn't do.
Well, they've scored more points through two games than they did with Ben Johnson last year.
Right, but I'm saying like the all the records that they had, the 500 yards, right. the 52 points, the over 8 yards per play. I mean, that stuff is insane. And that was with this team, with Johnny Morton as the offensive coordinator, we can all stop talking about Ben Johnson.
I'm not there yet. Right. I mean, clearly one 60-minute game, you can only send so many messages in one game, right? That are resounding I don't mean message. I mean, you can only send so many messages that are going to cover the entire season. Like I'm not going to sit here and say victory lap, John Morton's as good or better than Ben Johnson, but I am going to say they went out and did exactly something they did last year, which is look like a freaking juggernaut offensively with somebody else calling the plays. And that's really, really encouraging. Given the Bears are probably not a contender, right? The Bears are probably trending to be near the bottom of the NFC. They were expected to be improved, and in the end, they might be improved. They're not there yet, and I'll feel a lot better if they go out and they do it against Baltimore, although there are questions about Baltimore's defense as well. There is something to be said for that performance being a nice reminder that they still have the players to do it. Can they do it in big games? Can they do it in big games? Can they do it on the road?
Well, my thing with the coordinators has always been the offense is there. It's already been installed. You know, who's calling the plays I don't think it plays as much of a role as what the offense already is that Dan Campbell brought in from day one. So Ben Johnson did a great job with that. And clearly that he and Jared Goff clicked. They were able to score bunches of points and piles of yards and all that. And it was great. But just because you change the guy who's calling the plays doesn't mean that the offense is going to change. They still have the same players, and now you're putting some more guys in, or you're giving some more responsibilities to guys because they have more experience. And that's what's incredibly valuable to this team, to have, you know, Jameson Williams, who's taking a big step forward this year, to have a guy like Isaac Tesla come in, and he's only made, you know, two plays, but the two plays are spectacular. But everything is kind of, now we're getting back on track here. The game Monday night is going to be different. Mm-hmm. Another one on the road. It's a night game under the lights, and I think that all that matters because the crowd's going to be loud as hell. And I think that the communication is something that they really have to watch because of that hostile environment. It's not the first time the Lions have played in a hostile environment. It's not the first time the Lions have played in Baltimore. But if they can do what Jared Goff was talking about, which is communicate the line of scrimmage despite the fact that it's loud as hell, because yep. He said it shouldn't matter home or away. They know they have ways to communicate. Great, and they're going to work on that. Dan Campbell said something about that this morning. Hey, that's why bring in the 38 speakers and have them 10 feet from everybody so it's so loud that you try to duplicate what it's going to be like.
Yeah, and look, the Baltimore defense, too, on the road is going to be tougher, and I suspect in the end Baltimore's defense is going to be better than Chicago's, but Baltimore's defense has given up 410 yards a game and 30 points a game through two games. It's possible that this isn't what we've come to expect from the Baltimore defense as far as their standard. It's only two games. They did play one hell of an offense in Buffalo in week one, and they can skew numbers earlier in the season. But, you know, it's something to monitor, Gators, whether or not this Baltimore defense is what we've grown accustomed to. Here's one thing for sure. It's on the road. It's going to be hostile. And Jared feels like they've cleaned up a lot of the communication issues. He didn't want to get into it. Was a smart answer saying, I'm not going to give the Baltimore fans a right. challenge and say, yeah, we can handle them. Regarding the end, Scott says he has perfect comedic timing. When he hears something that irritates him, even a little, he bookmarks it. Yeah, he does.
Yeah, I think he does.
Yeah, he does. 248-539-9797. Brian's in Detroit, and he's on 97.1. Hello, Brian.
Man, y'all got to be kidding me. Man, they scored 13 points against the Packers. They played a JV team, scored 52. And Gator got his chest pumped out like they only way to doing something.
You think the Bears are a JV team, huh?
The Bears are the three worst teams in the league. They are horrible.
You think their defense is horrible?
The first week. Why didn't they score 52 the first week against Green Bay?
Well, they're playing on the road against Green Bay, and they didn't communicate
well. Man, you're making excuses. You got your chest pumped out like these guys are Super Bowl winners.
Yeah, you know what, Brian? I'll tell you what, Brian. I'll defend that. I think this team is a Super Bowl contending team. I 100% believe that, and I believe that before the season began. I believe that before and after the Green Bay game. Why should I change my opinion based on a sloppy
because
game at Green Bay?
Because your chest wasn't pumped out after the first week.
I stood by my – everybody's like, should we change our predictions?
We didn't change our predictions, Brian.
I still think this team is going to win the division. I don't care about the preseason. Gator. Nobody played in the preseason, Brian.
What I'm saying – that's who fought is that?
I don't think it's anybody's fault. I think it's the right strategy to do. Why would I play my starters in the preseason?
They beat one of the worst teams in the league. You act like they're on their way to Super Bowl.
Okay.
Well, Brian, he actually thinks they can go to the Super Bowl, and so do I. What's wrong with that?
Listen, you can think it all you want. Detroit Lions, y'all might well stop lying to these people. They're not going to no Super Bowl.
Okay, Brian.
They're not going.
All right.
How your chest pumped out. I want you to have your chest pumped out.
Let me ask this. How bad is this team, Brian? How bad are they?
They are a good team. They're not in the top four. But they are in that second half. It's the Ravens, Buffalo, the Chargers, Philly, Green Bay. The Lions in the second group.
So the Lions are the third best team. You think they're the third best team in the NFC?
I think it might be the third or fourth best team in the NFC. Yes,
now fourth best. Who else is ahead of them in the NFC?
The Commanders. When they played the Commanders in the playoff, what happened, Gator? The
Commanders look real good this year so far.
Yeah, I mean, look, yeah, the Commanders...
When they played the
Lions... So the Commanders' loss at Green Bay doesn't count, but Detroit's loss at Green Bay does.
It counts. What I'm saying is, don't have your chest pumped out, man.
Don't tell me what I can or can't do. If I feel chesty about this team, which I do, I like this team a lot. Am I guaranteeing them a Super Bowl? No. Yeah, they haven't listened to anything I've said. I think this is a really good football team. It is a Super Bowl contending team. Just like Green Bay and Philadelphia. And yeah, I still think highly of Washington, even though I think they played awful to start the season. And I don't know if Jaden Daniels is going to be able to play in the next couple of weeks or not. But beyond all that, I think when the smoke clears, you're looking at the Lions contending for a Super Bowl with those other teams. If you think that's me sticking my chest way out because they beat up on Chicago, what I feel is that any concern we have about the offense because they switched coordinators, I'm not that concerned about. I wasn't that concerned about it in the offseason, and I'm not concerned about it now.
We planted the flag and took a beating last week because we didn't give up on the season, because we stuck with our original predictions, which wouldn't be worth anything if we gave up on them after 1 week. Brian, nothing changed between week one and week two. I feel a little bit better about the coordinator because last year they put up 52 twice against bad teams. It's exactly what they did last year against bad teams. One was Jacksonville, and who was the other one? Was it Tennessee? I think it was Tennessee. It wasn't Chicago. Chicago was worse last year, right? They didn't put up 52 against Chicago either time. In fact, I don't think they scored 52 in the two games against Chicago combined.
You know, the Bears were in yards given up last year. They were sixth in the NFL last year. Has the defense changed all that much for the Bears from last year to this year?
Their marquee additions were on offense, I would argue. But
last year, the Bears gave up 21.8 points a game.
Yeah, I mean, look, Brian, we think they have a chance to win the Super Bowl.
But that's a JV team, Brian. You're right.
We think they have a chance to win the Super Bowl. You don't. We're on record. But I'll tell you what Gator's not doing. He's not lying to the audience about how he feels. I can guarantee you that. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valeni Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.
Welcome in on a absolutely beautiful Tuesday. We have a jam-packed show. Rico just lamenting Malik Beasley in the commercial break. Very exciting. Just get it off your chest and we can just start the show.
Okay, why are the Pistons still interested in this game?
How do you know that they are?
I mean, you keep hearing, well, he's hanging around and, you know, he'd love to come back. And it's
that's called the agent pestering media to write something about their client that is radioactive.
Hard no. We're, okay. We're good.
Rico would like to fly a banner above the city of Detroit that says we're not interested.
You know
apparently.
What? We're going
to
get Dan Campbell. Just we're good. That's it. We're good. We're good.
All right.
Hey, no, we're good, man. We're
Rico's
good.
Really broken up about this Beasley stuff.
We're good. You know, maybe just. Yeah,
out of your system.
How many more gambling investigations before you finally just say, no, you can't come back here? This is his second one now. This is the NBA one, not the feds, because, you know, because every basketball player goes through this, I'm sure. All right, I'm done.
You sure?
I'm positive.
You want to give that 10 more seconds?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good.
I have a sports confession to make. Now, I'm not telling you I'm right. But when I watch sports, if I'm thinking something, it's always been my policy, I'm going to tell my audience that. Like, I'm just going to tell you. And this is not meant to inflame. I don't even know if it'll get a response. But I watched Monday Night Football last night, and I could not escape continuing to think this. And it intensified as the evening went along. And I'm going to say it to you, but I have to do this without a fear of reprisal from you and Kenny and David and our listeners. Because none of this is meant as disrespect. I want to tell you what's on my heart, Rico.
Okay.
Can you handle that?
Boy, it's a big setup.
Can you handle
it? I can handle this.
Watching Houston and Tampa Bay last night. A really good football game. Decided in the last 10 seconds, 20-19, Bucks win. I kept coming back to, I wish Baker Mayfield was the quarterback of the Lions. Not that I have anything against Jared Goff. In fact, I've defended him against many of you hyenas. But I kept thinking last night the Lions would have a better chance to win the Super Bowl. In fact, I probably would have them favored to do so if Baker was their quarterback. I thought it. I'm not going to lie. I kept thinking it. I woke up feeling the same way, that if I have one drive to win a game, minute 48, one timeout, I've got to win it. It would be Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Baker Mayfield.
Okay, look.
I'm sorry.
No.
I feel so effing dirty.
I have not talked to you about this. David has not told me about what you were going to say. So, David, remember I said I came up with a blitz. I don't know if you could read my handwriting.
No, because you're on your tablet and that's written in hieroglyphics. You can just continue.
But one of the things in the upcoming blitz, down 5 with a minute 15 to go and one timeout. Do you want Baker Mayfield at your quarterback?
That's part awesome and part creepy. But it's just, Rico, it's back-to-back weeks he's done it. He's got the most game-winning drives in the fourth quarter in the last 2 years in football. He's got mobility, which I know gets people all rocked up locally. He makes all the throws. Like last night, they were down Tristan Wirfs. They lost Gedeki, another tackle. They had backup tackles. They had no Chris Godwin again. You're on the road. It's a desperate Houston team. Dude, I feel like Baker Mayfield is so much better than people give him credit for. They're always patronizing with Baker.
He is, because you remember Baker because he had all the swag coming out of college. He planted the flag. And then, you know, he had those commercials. It was the State Farm or whatever, where he was living in Cleveland Stadium. And he seemed like he was going to be the next, and he fell on his face. It was – and then
– but see, he didn't. Can I just correct you in one thing?
No. But I'm saying
he didn't. The Browns are stupid.
Correct.
He played with a torn labrum and went 8-9, not 3-14. He led them to the playoffs.
Right.
They won a playoff game.
But he was
They didn't win. They lost to his idiot team. I forgot about that.
In this world, Mike, by year 3, if you haven't won a Super Bowl, you're a bust.
I know.
We got to get rid of you. And then he went off, and he was just a journeyman quarterback. And we all remember he flew into L.A., and 12 hours later, he got the victory.
Resurrected his career.
And then he was gone from there.
And I also think about this. You know, we sat here and made such a huge deal about Jared Goff having a new offensive coordinator. Do you realize Baker's been in the league 7 years? I think he's had 7 coordinators.
Yes.
He got one good year, and up now Dave Canales is gone, and up now Liam Cohen's gone. Look, I'm not trying to be provocative. I'm not down on Jared Goff. I don't want to deal with bitching and moaning. I just, when I watch sports, if I think something, I got to share it with my audience, and I can't stop feeling the way I feel.
Yeah, I think the Baker Mayfield moment last night was the 4th and 10, and he just takes off, and it's nothing but space and opportunity, and he just didn't go out of bounds. He thought about it. He was injured, like he was really injured, and still went after the guy and tried to get around him, picked up the first down. And if I got to think, if you're a Buccaneer, you're like, man, yeah, this is our guy. Because he just has that it factor, that intangible thing. And I just find this hilarious, because that was actually
That's scary is what it is. Like, if Baker were here, I feel like...
he would fit in here.
No, I just feel like the Lions right now, I'd feel like they're on par with Green Bay, and I don't know why all of a sudden. Maybe it's because I take Goff for granted. I don't know. I just watched, and I couldn't stop thinking about it.
Because if Baker was here, let's just say the quiet part out loud. If Baker was here, it would be one more check mark that you could say is good about this team, that on a 3rd and 10, you got an extra option of the quarterback just taking off and going 50 yards down the field.
Yeah, and look, I think you can win a Super Bowl with both of these quarterbacks. But do I think you would have a better shot? Yeah. I mean, look, it's one thing to watch Josh Allen and go, wow, he's really dreamy. No, it's another to watch Baker Mayfield.
And have envy.
I actually do, and there's no way to say that where people aren't going to get in their feelings. I have no slander for Goff.
Because
I've defended Goff.
Well, no, it's not even a Goff thing, Mike. It's just, for some reason, people just think Baker Mayfield is like this poverty quarterback.
If you called Tampa Bay and tried to trade Goff for Baker, they'd laugh in your face.
Yeah.
Okay. So look, part of this was just admitting this is what I was thinking, and I feel terrible I'm thinking it. But the other was, I want to understand when you guys watch sports. I need you to share. I need you, like, you watch games. You think things that sports opinions that you're not going to share, but you think it. You do. We all know you do. You're watching a game and you're ready to fire a spicy take. And you're like, I don't feel like dealing with the heat on that one. I'm asking you guys. Did anyone watch that game last night and feel what I felt? Where you looked at it and you know, oh, I'm chanting Jared Goff at the Olive Bar at the market. But hold on.
I've had this opinion every time, and people always laugh. Like, whenever the Bucs play the Lions, it's a close game. People act as if, oh, we're going to destroy the Bucs. Newsflash, they've beaten you a couple times. Like, it's always a good game, and if what you don't want are the Bucs to be down and Baker with the ball with less than 2 minutes, because you're losing.
I just also look at, you have such a superior roster. Yeah. Baker doesn't have all that.
Yeah, can I give you some stats here?
You can. I just feel terrible for thinking this.
No, you don't have to
feel
terrible.
I don't want people to be angry. It's 80 and sunny.
No, you don't have to feel terrible.
I'm still blown away. Like, wow.
That's terrifying.
So since Baker has been a Tampa Bay Buck, which is since 2023, he is first in the NFL in touchdowns, second in the NFL in yards, and he also has 6 game-winning drives. 21 wins in that. So 6 game-winning out of the 21 game-winning drives for him. Fourth quarter comebacks, 5. So it leads to...
Is that
to,
including these last 2 weeks?
Correct.
Okay.
It leads to what you're saying. At the end of the game, he is money. You're losing in the fourth quarter, he's going to bring you back. You need to win a game in the fourth quarter, he's going to win it for you.
Yeah. Here's it. This is going to take people off, Mike.
No, I don't want people to be angry. It's beautiful outside.
You know what?
What?
I've often said, Baker Mayfield was your quarterback, you're going to the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Wow.
Tell me I'm wrong.
I can't, because in the game, Purdy's legs was the separator. Your quarterback didn't have any.
So in the final 3rd and 4th and 3.
Okay. Guys, you are welcome to slander. I just promise you, that is not the intent of this discussion. I just watched it. I've watched it back-to-back weeks. I know what I'm watching. And I wouldn't take Goff over this kid. And I wouldn't take him in the last 2 minutes of a game. And I swear, if I could swap QBs right now, I would. Because I think he'd win the Super Bowl. And that's coming from a guy who has mocked the Hendon Hooker crowd. A show that has been very pro-Goff. I like Jared Goff. But I can't help like what I'm watching and what I thought. And I go, yeah, I have some envy there.
And the thing is, look, Goff fits here, but Baker would fit here too. He's got that swagger. He's got everything. I mean, heck, at the end of the game, he may even put on some buffs.
He's a better quarterback, Rico. Like, you can just say the quiet part out loud.
Okay.
People don't get offended if you say Josh Allen's better than Jared Goff. And Josh Allen's never been to a Super Bowl, so you can save it. The whole Baker hasn't either.
But no. We revere Josh Allen. Nobody reveres Baker Mayfield.
Okay, I think you should revere him.
You should. No, I'm with you. But most people look at Baker Mayfield.
Week in, week out. I mean, the last couple of years, he's completely outplayed Patrick Mahomes. Up and down. Difference is Mahomes gets carried because he's got an elite team. I don't think Tampa Bay's elite. Plus, they're coached by an idiot. Todd Bowles is awful.
They win in spite of him.
They do.
I hearken back to the playoff game.
Hearken?
Where everybody's on the field like, hey, coach, we're going for it. Nah, it's 45 seconds left. Let's just go ahead and shake hands. We can still win. Nah, we're good.
I'm tired. It's a sports confession. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt anyone's feelings. But I wish we had Baker Mayfield. And I feel like this team would be better if we did. My confession is I really think Baker at this point is a top three QB in this league. Like, I would take Baker Mayfield over Lamar. Go ahead and laugh. I don't trust Lamar late in games. I don't trust Lamar to lead game-winning drives. I don't trust Lamar in the playoffs. And he's sizzle and sex appeal and all the rest. Chips down. I got one drive to score. I'm not taking Lamar Jackson. I'm taking Josh Allen. I could still pay some respect to Mahomes because he's still Mahomes. But there's no one I'd rather have than Baker. And I just, yeah, I was imagining him in a Honolulu blue jersey yesterday, and I felt like a piece of garbage because I'm like, I like Goff. Why do I feel this way? I was ready. I'm like, if I could trade them today, I would. And that's terrible. I don't say things that way.
And here it was. I thought I had the ultimate in it. Later on in the show, like, okay, I got a question for you.
We can still do that.
We can, but
248-539-9797. It's a sports confession. Just everybody take it easy.
We got phone calls to get to, and the question today, what's real? What's more of the truth? Who the Lions were week one at Green Bay, or who the Lions were on Sunday at home against the Bears? And there's elements of both, but don't cop out. Play along. Which one is more of who they are? Like, I would tell you, their pass rush is the team that couldn't get to Jordan Love. Their offensive line, communicating, putting hat on a hat, unlocked the offense that we thought we would see all season. The Bears game is the one that felt more familiar. The Packers game is the one that felt foreign. But you got to prove it. And they have to prove it against teams like Green Bay. So, you can unwind this ball of yarn however you'd like. 248-539-9797. Matthew, you're on 97.1.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
Hey, okay, so I called last week, told everyone to relax a little bit after the Packers game. I think we're seeing what's always been happening. It might take a game, it might take a season, but, you know, this offense, this team, they get it together. There's a reason why everyone believes in them, and I think the first one, didn't Micah Parsons come 4 days before they played? Like, there's no looks there. There's no research you can do. I just think it was a first game of the season with a lot of unknowns. If they needed to do what they needed to do against the Bears, and I think the big test is going to be the Ravens. But I don't think there's anything to worry about, to be completely honest.
Yeah, there's a world, though, where they lose to Baltimore, and they're still the team that played the Bears. Baltimore's a good team. You're on the road. They could lose that game and still be a 12-win football team.
Right. I don't think anybody is sitting here going, well, okay, well, they fixed everything against the Bears, and now they're going to end up 16-1, except maybe, you know, caller Greg.
Well, if they lose one more, they'll be at 15.
Yeah.
We know the game. But what I'm saying is I would caution the Ravens being the referendum game that decides week one versus week two, because week one may have been too many moving parts and changes and miscommunications and sloppiness. Week two, hey, Dan Campbell's offense is still Dan Campbell's offense. We don't need Ben Johnson. And that still might not be good enough to beat Baltimore. You know what I'm saying? Like, game two could be the real Lions and they could still lose week three.
I mean, I think the big thing that came out just week to week was how much better the offensive line played. Because that's where I was fearing, oh no, this thing could go sideways, because they need their offense to be a Super Bowl caliber team. The defense was going to always be the question mark, and it's going to be a work in progress throughout the year. I still have questions about that and how they're going to contain the Ravens next Monday.
As do I. I mean, they're 5.5-point underdogs, and I don't expect them to win as we sit here today. Texter says they are who shows up against Baltimore. That's Jason. He says, and happy birthday, Teddy.
Oh, thank you.
Texter says, good morning. If you look to be a Super Bowl team, you need to look good against other Super Bowl caliber teams. That's Green Bay, not Chicago. Also says, Go blue, John.
Go blue.
Why can't they be both teams? Both the team that played in Chicago and both the team that played in Green Bay. Same team, different opponents.
All right. So, yeah, sure, there's that extreme. They could be that team against good teams, and they could be the team that played the Bears against bad teams. I think they're not playing the game. They're certainly somewhere in the middle.
Yeah,
they're not as bad as they were week one, and they're not as grandiose as it looked in week two.
The same ones that said all offseason how the Bears got better and we didn't, all of a sudden are saying we should have blown out the Bears because they're a bottom feeder. It's funny how the narrative changes. Cough, cough, 2-6.
Well, I mean, so the narratives or some of the facts about Chicago was they hired Ben Johnson. We had no idea how he's going to be as a head coach, and DeJuri is certainly still out. But what did he do the first thing he got there? Improve the offensive line. And went and got himself a tight end because he knows the tight end is important in his offense. Now, he's not using that tight end, but there are some things where you looked and you said, okay, well, maybe they are better. But they're not playing like it now.
No, and I'm not going to tell 2-6 how to do their show. You win that way by 31 points. It's a little weird to tell people they didn't do enough. Like, yeah, they didn't win the Super Bowl last Sunday. They couldn't win the Super Bowl last Sunday. They had the best possible outcome. They took Ben Johnson and any questions of whether or not they could keep the offense going, and they made that statement. They won by 31 points. That's not the bare minimum. That's not just doing what you're supposed to do. It's weird energy. You want to say they didn't win the Super Bowl? Fine, they didn't win the Super Bowl.
Right.
248-539-9797.
There's still a lot of work to be done. And we will, every time they take the field, no matter the opponent, no matter the location, we're going to learn a lot more about this team. And we'll know certainly, we'll have a clearer definition of what this team is when we get to week 6 or 7. Because we will have seen them against good teams, against bad teams. And are they going to do the same thing against Cleveland when they play? I don't know.
I mean, they could drop 50 on Cleveland.
They could, but Cleveland's strength is the defense. Mm-hmm. And if they do it against a defense like that, then maybe the offense is clicking. But they've got to find a way to solve the equation of a mobile quarterback in a good offense.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I just know when the season started, we highlighted how difficult the schedule was. We knew they'd take some lumps. Everybody on the station thought they were going to come back down to earth from a win-loss standpoint. So if they lose a couple games early, but you still see that team is in there, and Chicago showed you, hey, that team is still in there somewhere, that's the team you got to have humming at the end of the season. Let's get to the phones. Jeff in Detroit. Jeff, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Good morning. Well, to go back to your question, hopefully this isn't a cop-out. I think the team that showed up against Green Bay is indicative of our defense, which needs to get much better. The team that showed up against the Bears is indicative of our offense. And when we go up against teams with elite quarterbacks, I think we're going to struggle, just like we did last year. So that's my biggest concern.
I think it's a fair read. I think their questions about getting to the quarterback are noted. They couldn't get to Jordan Love at all. Now Marcus Davenport is injured. Surprise there. And they're going to face better teams than the Bears, and you're going to need to get home. Offensively, I don't know what I was watching against Green Bay. That felt out of place. And then to see it kind of slide back in a week later, it's like, okay, they went back to the drawing board. They collected their thoughts. They played a cleaner game, and they played the type of game they played all of last year with Ben Johnson, and they did it without him. So I think the offense feels like the offense from the Bears game. To his point, the defense might be the defense from the Packers game. And can you win the division that way? Well, it's going to come down to Thanksgiving then, right?
Yes. It may just simply come down to Thanksgiving. But I also think in the second half, like, we saw the defense make some adjustments. Was it one touchdown in the second half for Green Bay? I mean, you are allowed to get better. You are allowed to make adjustments. And we know that there are some deficiencies that this defense has. If they can be a consistent team at stopping the run and then find a way, whether it's the Aaron Glenn, method of blitzing, 52% of the time or man coverage along with the blitz. Like, you've got to do what you've got to do. That's why we brought up, if there's going to be a deficiency, we just floated out there Trey Hendrickson. Leave, and everybody got all over us about it.
Why would you bring this up? They're never going to do it. All right, guys, never mind. The team's fine. Let's get to Mark in Southfield. Mark, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How's it going, guys?
What's up?
Hey, I think the team we've seen on Sunday is who they are. And I believe if that wasn't that team, they probably would have probably squoze and got that win. It probably would have been an ugly win versus a blowout. So I think they're right on track to where they need to be. Next week, I expect them not to get blown up, but to compete. But I don't think they'll win. But, yeah, that's just my thought, guys.
Yeah, look, I think the most likely scenario is they would split the next two, lose to the Ravens, beat the Browns. We'll have the inevitable, well, they can only beat the bad teams. They can't beat the good teams. But they're figuring out a young offensive line on the fly. If they're 2-2, go into Cincinnati, win that game. You're 3-2, go into Kansas City, no Rashi Rice. Wait, that's a... that's an NBC Tirico game. Are we going to get the Astros talk again?
I don't know. We'll effort Mike that week, see if we can clarify that.
It'll be a good time. He's a riot. So if we can get him on, we can do that. But I think 3-3, 4-2, and yeah, they'd have a couple bad losses to Green Bay and Baltimore. They'd have things that clearly they need to get better at, but we kind of knew that going into this season.
Yeah, and I mean, the schedule is, it's not going to change in terms of the opponents that you're going to play, but as we've already seen, it will change due to injuries, whether they're in-house with the Lions or it's someone else. I had pegged Cincinnati as a win for the Lions. I think it looks even more now. That was quick.
I'm getting good.
Yeah. It seems even more likely now with the injury to Joe Burrow.
Yep. Couple texts. Week two was more the Lions to me. Week one was too sloppy. Missed assignments. Uncharacteristic. Something I don't believe is the standard for Dan and the crew. I don't expect it to be near perfect like Sunday, though. That's a dad in the drop-off line. Text says they're closer to the team that lost to Green Bay, but it's not a bad thing. Green Bay is the best in the league. Last week was a bad, bad, bad Bears team. I don't care what the Lions look like against the Bears. It's when they play the elite teams, Packers and Ravens. Those results are a better illustration of who this team is.
Mm-hmm. Where are the people that have to put the Bears in a Super Bowl? Remember there were a few of them in the preseason?
Yeah, the team that went worst to first?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they have gone bye-bye.
You don't blow out teams in the NFL unless you're a good team. Week one is the lie, signed Jake on the ticket text.
You know what, guys? I think this comes down to is how good is Green Bay? I think they've got a solid to good offense, okay? I think the defense, let's see after a few more weeks here when teams get some real tape on how they're playing. I mean, I'm not dismissing the chance that they could be the best defense in the league or a top five for sure, but everybody's anointing them a little early.
It's 97-1.
The difference in doing this job this week as opposed to last week, it's night and day. Last week, it was basically 5 days of calls, most of them predicting doom for the Lions. Let's be clear here. The season, there's a lot of season to go, and the Lions still have a lot to prove. But some of the takes last week have already been proven to be a gross overreaction. Did you have a gross overreaction? 248-539-9797. You can admit it here. It's a safe space. We admit it when we get something wrong. But, you know, because those takes include that the offense was irreparably broken without Frank Ragnow, without Ben Johnson. The interior of the offensive line was going to be a problem all season long. Goff had lost it. What was wrong with Jahmyr Gibbs was a take I remember seeing. And there was a lot of, they're going to lose to the Bears, guys. And, you know, I mean, that, they did not just lose to the Bears. They annihilated the Bears. They were very rude to Ben Johnson.
They were.
Very rude.
They were. I told you last night with my brother and I went golfing. We eventually caught to a guy who was playing by himself playing golf by himself on a golf course. So we joined up and we're talking to him and he's in town from Chicago. Mm-hmm. So we started asking him what we do. He came in on Sunday night, so he missed he watched the game at home and then came out to Detroit, and he's here for business. So we said, what was the opinion of the average Chicago fan when you guys got Ben Johnson? He said, we all think he's the savior. Like the Bear fans are insane how optimistic they are about this guy being able to turn things around. And then they get smacked down in the fourth quarter against the Vikings, and then they get smacked down for all four quarters against the Detroit Lions. And I think there's a lot of shock there that what's going on. And yet here in Detroit, I feel like there's not shock, but what happened was fans were shocked back to reality. Like, wait a minute, they're not as bad as what you saw against the Packers.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
And they just took advantage of a Bears team. This is a good football team. It's still a really good football team. Don't be fooled by what happened in week one. Except that the Packers are really good. And the Lions played better in the second half than they did in the first half of that game. What did against the Bears was completely erase anything and get ready for the next one. Because that's the way we expect the offense to be.
The funniest hot take I saw after week one was, Jahmyr Gibbs needs to change his number back. He looks stupid in zero. And I'm sure that same fan after week two against the Bears is going, Jahmyr Gibbs looked really good in zero.
I'm going to get my jersey.
Yeah, right.
Do I want the black? Do I want the Honolulu blue? Or do I want the white? Yeah. I want all three.
People were panicked, man.
I wasn't convinced after week one that the offense was cooked because I knew having new coordinators and new faces on the O-line would be a major hurdle, especially against a team as good as Green Bay. That's from an unnamed texter. I wasn't worried about a win against the Bears, but I did not expect that large margin of victory. At this point, I do not think we're Super Bowl bound. I think that window has closed. I find this take to be so fascinating to me, and here's why. They're locking up their young players. Like their best players, their whole game plan is centered around keeping their best young players here for a long time. They're good older players they are letting go, right? Isn't this the plan? And they're locking up good young players.
But they didn't trade for Micah Parsons.
But hold on. So that move closed the window. The Green Bay Packers getting Micah Parsons make the Green Bay Packers the Super Bowl champs from here moving forward. Because if the window's closed, that means from here moving forward, Packers to win the Super Bowl, followed by the Packers winning the Super Bowl, followed by the Packers winning the Super Bowl, followed by the Packers winning the Super Bowl. Next 2, 3, 4 years, because the window's closed. Do you realize how ridiculous that take is? Yeah, the Packers are a favorite now. Got it. Yep.
Acknowledged. Favorite win the division, yeah.
There are teams that aren't the favorite that can win. This guy says the window has closed. They're doing the opposite of closing the window. They're trying to keep the window open for a long period of time. What they're not doing is going all in and closing the window sooner. Trading future assets, that's the opposite of how they're operating.
And I like how the Lions are operating. I think it's fine. I'm not playing devil's advocate. I'm trying to read into what people are saying from the other side. Because fans want them to go all in. Mm-hmm. Because they want the better opportunity, the better shot, the better odds of winning. And they haven't made that all-in move. Right. And I get that. And when we go back in time and we say things like, do you take back the Darko pick? Would you rather have Carmelo Anthony? Yeah. And what do we always say?
No. Because you don't trade in a championship.
Because we wouldn't trade a championship for the unknown. We had the known commodity, which was a championship. So it's people that just want to, that they think that that's the safest way to go is to go over the top for one time and then deal with whatever consequences you have. There's still a percentage of people out there that think that you can do whatever you can to manipulate the cap, whatever, however you can, and stay in contention for several years. And then at some point, you're really going to be screwed. We'll see how Philadelphia does it, because Philadelphia's in this window where they got to pay their guys. Are they going to be able to?
Well, they've already lost some, but they look fine now.
They're having to deal with voidable years and all this, and there's a bunch of different ways to do it.
I just find that take to be so ironic, because if you think the window has closed, then the only argument I make is that the window was never open. If they were never a Super Bowl contending caliber team, and they're locking up the core of this group that wasn't Super Bowl caliber anyway, then the window was never open. But if you think the window was open before, all they're doing is securing their best young players. That is an attempt and an effort to keep the window open. That's why it makes no sense to me to say the window has closed.
Well, and ask people today, how about this? Okay, for those that wanted the Micah Parsons thing, mm-hmm. and we've said a million times, whether it was Micah Parsons or Trey Hendrickson or Max Crosby or TJ Watt or whomever it was, the whatever edge rusher du jour that was allegedly available, that, okay, if you want to make a move for that, then you have to understand what the sacrifice is going to be long term, because if you're going to sign a guy like Micah Parsons, you got to pay him, which the Packers clearly paid him. So if the Lions had done that, they would have a window of opportunity of like this year and next year, and then the tough decision would be made, okay, which two out of three guys do you not want to have? Do you not want to have Jahmyr Gibbs? Do you not want to have Sam Laporta? Do you not want to have Brian Branch? Okay, if you want to have these two bookend defensive ends, which I get, I understand that, but you may have to lose two, if not all three of those guys that you haven't paid yet that you're going to have to. And now we look after the second week of the season, the game against the Bears. Anybody here want to get rid of Brian Branch?
No.
Anybody? Put your hand down. You want to get rid of Jahmyr Gibbs? Put your hand down. I mean, some positions are easier than others to try to replenish, and running back may be one of those. Tight end might be one of those, but to a lesser degree. But I tell you, man, you know, you find a great safety, and the Lions have two of them. If you're talking about losing guys to pay for a defensive end, it's a risk.
It is a risk.
Or, like you say, stay the course, pay your young guys, and try to draft the next one or take a chance in something
else. I see what they're trying to do. I'm not 100% convinced it's going to work, but I'll tell you what. I find the window is closed take to be one of the more nonsensical takes.
I completely agree with you on that.
Tyler is next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Tyler.
Hey, how are you guys today? Thank you for having me.
Sure.
Yeah, I was calling. I don't like seeing people be optimistic, especially at the beginning of the year. We watched the Lions play the Packers, and it was not the best game to watch. But you also have to put into perspective. That's a new team. This is a new team. It's a new year. The Packers, they're a strong team, and it stinks that we're essentially two games behind them now. With that said, though, watching the Bears game, we had that great opening drive. The Bears had one too, and then we go four and out. And I have my group of people that we always text back and forth, and within the first quarter, they're like, "Oh, the same old Lions. There goes the season. There goes this." And then throughout the game, it obviously changed, and the Lions just kept scoring. So in that group, I'm going, "Guys, oh my God, another touchdown. Whoa, another Lions touchdown. Holy cow, an interception, four." And then the outcome of the game was great, and that definitely put a lot of spark back into Lions fans. And the season's not even close to over. It's just started, and we have a long way to go. And I have a very good outlook that the Lions are going to perform very well this year.
TJ Lang with us. We're going to get to your phone calls. You'll get a chance to insult TJ face to face. It's going to be incredible. Oh, I have two questions. One is,
I got thick skin.
Lions D line.
Yep.
I have no idea. Now, Davenport didn't practice this week. My expectation is won't play. That's just basic NFL knowledge.
Yeah, fair.
But I didn't love what I saw in the first half against the Bears. I really worry that when they go to Baltimore and you're going to play the most physical offensive line maybe on your schedule, forget about the Lamar angle. I don't have Davenport, most likely. I don't have Pascal. Onzarike's dead. Aleem is dead. TJ, am I wrong in looking at this and going, man, they could have some problems?
No, but
what?
You're saying these guys are dead.
They're dead.
I mean,
professionally.
Aleem McNeil's going to be back eventually.
Right, in November. But that
Onzarike is done for
the season.
Have
you never met this man before?
No, I mean,
it's just a phrase. It doesn't mean they're... Okay, so I didn't come on the air and announce the JFK assassination. I just said these guys are not around. No,
but that just...
All right, not dead.
That makes me...
Bottom line is, it's going to be Bob Muhammad for 70 snaps.
Yeah, and even Coach said earlier in the week that they expect a lot more out of Al-Qadim Muhammad. certainly the Davenport news, like that it's taken this long into the week, is
not good.
Questioning, like, you don't know, like, maybe that's a good sign that, hey, we thought we saw something, but, you know, then the next day, hey, something came back better. Or maybe it's the opposite, where, you know, hey, we want to get a second opinion just to see how long this thing's going to last. Either way,
with his track record, I know where I'm heading.
That's the scary part. I don't know anything about his injury. And
can I give you the update?
Oh, we got an update?
There's a small one here. Dave Burkett just tweeted something. Stop it.
That's no way to talk about Kenny. And you don't know that.
Dave Burkett just tweeted something out a few minutes ago saying Lions defensive end Marcus Davenport had his right arm in a sling in the locker room after practice today. Declined to say anything of note, but he did struggle and couldn't use his right arm to get out of the recliner he was in. Clearly not on track to play Monday. And yesterday they did change the injury to a chest injury.
To a chest
injury.
If
it's a chest injury.
That's a peck.
Yeah, that's peck. I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, hold on. Hurt guy got hurt? Tucka, 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 tucka. Scott, I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah, and unfortunately, we won't get the
I got you. Hold
game
on.
Plan. I'm sorry, just the you
I
know
the team's the response
injury report. Yeah, we won't get the injury report today, which we normally do on Fridays. With being a Monday game, that won't come out till tomorrow. But the fact they changed it to chest, yeah, I mean, we can all connect the dots there and say back injuries are not good. But the fact that he's, I would just say the fact that he's getting second opinions, maybe third opinions, is like, okay, is this maybe a 1 week, a 2 week thing,
or use his arm? Did you miss that blurb?
Can't get out of chair. That's a real. I don't think he's playing NFL football.
Yeah, listen,
has one leg.
I don't want to sidetrack the conversation, but if we're going to talk about depth on this team and positions you can't afford to lose, you know, defensive end obviously being one of them, Al-Qaeda Muhammad, I love him as a complimentary piece that can come pass rush, you know, 15, 20 times a game. Do I like him as a
60-snap edge setter?
Yeah, I mean, maybe he develops into that. As of right now, no. I mean,
if I bought
and also, like, offensive tackle, I mean, you don't have – you had Jamarco Jones as your third guy who is now on IR. Like, if one of those tackles goes down, I mean, Skipper's on practice squad.
Manu!
Giovanni Manu has no experience. He played, five plays last week in garbage time. But
hello? I'm told he's Orlando Pace by the fanboys.
That's a very – I'd be lying to you if I said that's not a very concerning position to see somebody go down. And
honestly, too, it's remarkable work by Davenport if he ends up being out long term. Back to back years, you gave us exactly one game.
I mean, I hope that's not the well. That's not true. I think he played three. He got hurt in week three last week.
Check the tape on
he
that.
He did. Wait, he got hurt in Arizona. He played.
I'm
week
sorry.
One.
He was
he played week two.
He was
against
so impactful,
Tampa,
TJ. I couldn't sort out
Arizona.
All the plays.
No, I'm just. I just remember him getting hurt in Arizona, Mike, and I know that wasn't week one for sure.
If he's gone long term, do you know what that looks like?
That's not good. That's not good, especially, and I get that, that's not good. If he's gone long term, that's not good, especially after you said, thank you, that. And
okay,
and
I have
quite
it
frankly,
here.
With a guy that well, has a history of getting hurt every year, I hope that's not the case, though.
Marcus Davenport played two games. He was inactive for the second game of the season. So he played the first game and the third game.
Okay.
What are we doing?
All right, 3 weeks in. But the second game was Tampa. No, we remember them going 1-1 last year.
Hey.
Regardless.
He doubled his production from the year before.
Regardless, if it is a long-term injury, then yes, they are going to take heat, which they should, because everybody had questions about the guy that you said, Mike, play the drop.
Okay. If you're asking.
You played that. You said that about the guy that you expected to have for a full season, and that's a guy that hasn't been available for most of his 80% of his career. So I hope that's not the case. I'm not trying to break news and say, oh, you're going to miss him there. Maybe it's a 2 week injury. Maybe it's a 1 week injury. I don't know. But if you're missing him, and it turns out to be a season where we don't have this guy available again, then yes. Everybody has the right to say, what did you guys see that we didn't see? We've seen a guy that's been injured his entire career you're relying on, and he's not available for you, if that's the case.
Better,
I'm not saying that's the case.
Better win that game Monday night.
Then, yeah.
Better win that game Monday night. No, it's more long-term because everyone in this room and 75% of our audience knows the basics.
Football's a war of attrition. Your starting 22 does not stay intact. It's not if injuries happen, it's when.
Correct.
So the erosion happening this early to a position group that there's only one true difference maker who will be back, and that's not for months. I still think it's November for Aleem. You can't take hits there. Hey, all right, wait, you want to say third week of October?
No, I don't. I don't want to say that, but I think middle of October, and I'm not. Just my guess. Aleem, I know, did a long piece with Justin Rogers, who's awesome, talking with players in the locker room. Not trying to plug his.
My God.
J-Rog, but
get a he's room.
Great. No, I'm not saying that, but J-Rog's been great with the players. And Aleem said at some point this week, like, I feel like I'm like 92, 94%, and I feel like I could play right now. But, you know, we're still trying to play the long game and be cautious with everything. So, if it was my guess, Mike, especially if Davenport's going to be missing time, I'd give it maybe 3-4 more games before we see him.
That'd be amazing because they need October. It. I'm worried about that D-line against Baltimore. Maybe I'll be totally off.
That's fair.
I'm just
that's
worried
fair.
About it.
Look
and
here,
now.
Look yeah, here, Mville. They'll be okay.
Yeah, J-Rod.
That's fair.
Mville.
Hey, don't slander Justin.
I didn't slander anybody. I just didn't know you had pet names for people. It's kind of it's romantic. I'm going to ask
you. Oh, you want to hear mine for you?
Yeah, I know.
I can't say that on air.
Bleep hole.
I got one.
Bleep face. I mean, what do you got? Mother bleeper. I oh, get it.
Yeah, I think fired. There's a drop in the system
I'll
of that.
I'll get fired if I say that one.
No!
Not that one.
No, I meant the one from the TV show.
That's the one. Now, listen, I have TJ's critical question for him next, and it's nothing to do with him or his playing career. It's about a league issue.
Okay.
And I want – we are going to put our tinfoil hats on.
Okay.
I want to know if you're joining us.
All right.
We're going to do it next. It's fun, I promise. Nothing salacious. Rico, please.
I'm sure.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valeni Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.